This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
my reward, and all of my devotion. And now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ, my all in all, my joy and my salvation. This hope will never fail, for heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Battle, oh, where else when we go?
nations roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Now the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. And Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battles. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. To those around.
us, Father. Lead us in your love to those people around us. Father, you love us. We heard it earlier this afternoon. You loved us so much that you've sent your Son to die for our sins so that we can be with you in heaven forever and ever. And Father, this afternoon we come to you. We ask you again, remind us, Father. Show us, Father. Lead us, Father. Take our hand. Take us in your house, Father, that we can understand what is on your heart this afternoon. And you want to share with us, Father, that we can come closer to you. We will never understand you, but we can still come closer and closer to you. And I pray, Father, that this afternoon, that our hearts can be focused on you, that nothing is going to distract us. You've given us power, you've given us authority, and we're using that in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever the enemy wants to do, and he wants to distract us, or he wants to put certain thoughts in our mind which are going to distract us from what you want to share with us this afternoon, we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to steal this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your powers in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to hear what God wants to share with us, how much he loves us, and how we should share it with the other people around us. Lead us, Father. Jesus' name. Amen. I feel that God is telling us this afternoon that he wants to speak to us about his power, God's power, how it's available for us. But before we're going to start and listen what God wants to share with us, I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying that I must ask somebody to come and testify how you started a conversation with somebody, you explained the gospel, you prayed with him the sinner's prayer through that whole process. Is there anyone who can? So that you've been speaking to somebody, it could be somebody at work, it could be your neighbor, it could be even a family member. You spoke to the person, you explained the gospel to that person, told them about it, that God loves him or her. You came to the stage that you said, do you want to accept it? Do you also want to be a child of the Lord? And that the person says, yes, I want to be. And that you prayed along with that person, that you prayed a sinner's prayer. The person gave his heart to Jesus. Is there anyone who can testify that you've once in your life done that process with somebody?
Yes, we walked in Utrecht and fearfully when I do that. It's not natural for me. So I also do it because I want to know how the Dutch are, how they think. And but yes, one day we came and there was a guy and I could explain the whole gospel, yeah, about Jesus and who Jesus is and why he came and why he died and da-da-da-da-da, everything. And then afterwards I asked him, "And would you like to choose for Jesus?" "Yes, I would like to." I said, "Would you like to do it now?" He says, "Yes, I would like to." So I said, "Ooh, okay, I've never heard this." So I said, "Can we pray now?" "Yes, we can pray now." So yeah, this is how the process went. It was awesome.
Thanks a lot, Renee. I'm first going to go back quickly to last week when I spoke about the priorities, that God should be our priority in life, not our priority, but God's priority should be the main thing in our life. And then if we want to find out what God wants to do in our life, then we've got to communicate with him. We've got to read the Bible, the book which God has given us, 66 books, where God has inspired people to write down, that he used them, that through the Holy Spirit, that he wrote the things down, and that we can read it. Also prayer, that we're speaking to God, what we've just now heard as well with the announcements, the intercessions, that you come together and that you see God's face and that you say, "God, but what is it, what do you want to, that we should do?" And then the next thing is that we should listen, that we should become quiet. It's very easy to do the first and the second, but the third one we're battling always a little bit with. I also had a problem with it. I could do the first and the second, wasn't that difficult, but the third one, to sit down, to listen to God, and to allow God to speak into your life. But you've got that small voice telling you you've got to do this and you've got to do that. It's like what I mentioned last week. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to Jesus. Martha was running around making coffee and tea and cutting cake and all that type of things. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the right thing and it cannot be taken away from her. And that's the beautiful thing. God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak into our lives. And I'm asking the question, what's next? What's next? If we've read the Bible, if we pray, if we listen to God, what's going to happen next? God is going to speak to us. And He's going to give us words. And He's going to stir our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is going to stir us on the inside to do a certain thing or to say a certain thing. And it can be awkward and it can be strange. And the first time it can be that you say, but I don't know what's happening now. Must I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Am I going to be a fool or whatever the case may be? But if you hear it again and if the thing is coming back again, you know, okay, I better do it. This one is coming from God. It can be awkward things. It can be that the Lord is telling you you must go to your neighbor and you've got to invite him for coffee. Then you do it. Then God has got a plan. Then He's speaking to you. It could be that you're walking in the street and suddenly you feel a pain on your shoulder. And you see that person there. And then you can ask the person, if you've got a pain in your shoulder, can I pray for you? It could be that at work, that you've got a very friendly boss. And that the Lord is telling you, make coffee for that person each and every morning. Could also be tea. And you say, Lord, but how can I do it? That boss is so unfriendly to me. Doesn't greet me in the morning or whatever. The Lord says, make coffee for that person. And then you go and you make coffee. So this is how God is speaking different to different people at different times. Then God is stirring us to do what He wants us to do. Because He's got a certain plan. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan is different for each and every one of us. It's not that I must do exactly the same as what my wife is doing, as what Marco is doing, and what Geoffrey is doing. No, it's different. They get different instructions from God. At the final end, it is all the same goal. That His kingdom is going to come on this earth. But He's speaking differently. But the beautiful thing is, if God is speaking that word to us, and if He tells us that we've got to do something, like praying for healing, then there's power coming along with that word. It's not only that God is giving an instruction, but He's equipping you as well, that you can do it. It's not that you suddenly say, okay, Lord, you're telling me now I must fix this car, but where's my toolbox? No. God will give you what you need to do what He wants you to do. Luke 9, verses 1. Jesus was sending His disciples, and He gives actually a word to His disciples. Then He, Jesus, called His 12 disciples together, and He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There are two words over here which sometimes in the Bible in different translations are used exactly the same. And it's the word power and authority. But the first word that Jesus gave them power, that's the word dunamis. Now dunamis, it's a Greek word, and immediately we can recognize the word dynamite in it. It's powerful. But there's something else with it as well. It's not only powerful, but it's a miracle. It's miraculous. It's something which we normally do not understand, which for us human beings, we maybe would call it supernatural. It's supernatural. Actually, we shouldn't use that word, because if it's for God possible, it should be natural for us. Supernatural shouldn't be in our language. Natural. God can do a miracle. It's natural. It's not supernatural. It's natural. If we ask and God wants to do a certain thing, then He's doing a certain thing. The next word is that authority. The authority is the Greek word exousia. And that's an authority, that's a jurisdiction, that's a liberty. And it's also sometimes translated with the word power. The reason why I'm making a distinction between it, because we're going to see a few verses down the line as well, where we again see that word power and we can see the word authority, where they are used in both sides. So Jesus is sending the 12 disciples, but he's sending disciples not with an empty toolbox. He says, you're going to get power and you're going to get the authority. Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. And he, again it's Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not the will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on sick, and they will recover. There's a certain sequence what we can see in both of them, in what Jesus was sending the 12, and what he's also saying here to the disciples, part of the great commandment, bring the gospel, but then after the gospel, then the power is there, the authority is over there, which can be used. But the gospel is the first and the most important thing, because that saves a person. If a person is going to get healed, he's not saved yet. The person has got to get saved. That's the most important thing. Jesus first sent out the 12, those were the 12 around him, the apostles, or the disciples, and then later on he sent out 70. Certain translations we see that they used the amount of 72, and others they use 70. But 70 is a specific, it's actually an awesome amount which is used a few times in the Bible. When Jacob came with his family from Israel and he went into Egypt, there were 70 together, a whole bunch, 12 sons, with the daughters and children. 70 they were. The amount of elders what Moses chose to help him, to assist him, was 70. The Sanhedrin, which is also called the Council of the Nations, they were also 70. So 70 is an amount which is not unknown to the Jewish people. They're quite common with that amount. Luke 10 verses 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. This after the 12, he sent 70 as well. But he sends them to the places where he was going to go. So they were basically preparing the place for him to come afterwards. And then I'm going to verse 17 when they came back. And then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. They were so excited, those 70, when they came back. Well, what actually happened over there? It's not only that they brought the gospel, but that they could send out demons as well, and that they could heal people. They could experience the power of God working through them, as Jesus has been sending them. And that Jesus saw then Satan falling, how and what, there are different explanations about it, that's not actually important. Important is, something happened over there. Because people were using the authority and the power what they had, and that was breaking the stronghold what Satan had on the people. And then he carries on in 19. Jesus says, Behold, I gave you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Again, I give you the authority. Exactly the same word as what we've seen before, where he's talking about that authority, that jurisdiction, that power, what they've got. And you're going to get power over authority over all the power of the enemy. And again, that word dunamis is used over there. So they were actually experiencing it. Jesus was sending them. Jesus was giving them more words. Jesus was giving them an instruction. And then the power and the authority was coming along with them, that they could do what Jesus was telling them to do. and they were excited about it. And I can imagine that if those 70, because they're talking about 70 also, which means the 12 apostles were not included. So these were other 70. So people who were maybe not always following Jesus, but Jesus is sending them, and he's giving that authority to them that they can go out and that they can not only bring the gospel, but that they can pray for healing and that they can send out demons. We as Christians have got exactly the same powers, can get the same powers and authority as what the apostles got. It is sometimes that there are churches who say, those powers and authority doesn't belong to us. It's from Jesus. It was only in Jesus' time. It was only with the apostles. And afterwards, it's not available. It's not for us. I do not agree with it. And if I'm going to ask for testimonies over here, I think 90% of you can testify about something which happened where you can say, but I've seen the power and I've used that authority. It's still available for us. It's not that it is only for that certain period. And how do we get it? It comes with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verses 8. But you shall receive power. You're going to receive that dunamis. You're going to receive that dynamite, what you can ignite. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnessing to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the end of the earth. And that's that power, that's that energy which is available for us as believers. And we can use that, and we can use it for benefiting other people, that we can show the love of God to other people. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we can use these powers. But the problem is, if we're not going to ask for it, if we're not going to open ourselves up for it, and if we're not going to God and say, God, I want to be used in your kingdom, then nothing is going to happen. Or if God is going to give you instructions, say, go to your neighbor, make a cup of coffee, invite them to church, or whatever you've got to do. And you say, no, Lord, that's not for me. Please send somebody else. No, Lord, it's not for me. Please send somebody else. No, Lord, I'm not going to make coffee for that boss of mine. That pain in my shoulder, it's just something. No, I'm not going to pray for anybody. Then nothing is going to happen. Then we are quenching the Holy Spirit. And we're quenching the power and the authority as well, what God wants to give to us. I want to quote three scriptures over here where we can see that the power of God is at work in those people who call themselves Christians. First one is Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 to 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. The power that dunamis is included in it, with the work of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We also find it in 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 and 8. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. He has given us power. This is what God has given us, power and love. He's given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a sound mind. And therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Again, the power of God. That is what's included, what's going along with the Christians. A little bit further on in 2 Timothy 3, we read, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, which means it's fierce times, it's difficult times, it's going to be dangerous times. For men will be lovers of themselves. We can see it. We can see it if we look around in Utrecht, we can see it in all of Europe, we can see it all over the world, that it's all about themselves. What is it? What is it in it for me? And then Paul is describing some of those loves for themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemies, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than the lovers of God. So they're not loving God, but they're loving themselves. Interest. They're just interested what is in it for themselves and not what God wants to give to them. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And again, the people are denying its power. They do not accept the power of God. They want to work their own way. They want to be lovers of themselves, but they do not want to be lovers of God. And then the power is not available. Because we've got to seek God. We've got to seek His face. We've got to, like I said before, we've got to read the Bible. We've got to pray. We've got to listen to what God wants us to do. And if He's giving us word then, and God is speaking to us, then we are giving that, the getting that power which is going along with the Holy Spirit. And God wants to use us. He's created heaven and earth. For Him to get His plan into action, it's just like it. By just saying the words that He can create heaven and earth, and whatever His plan is, He can just put it into practice. It's less than a minute. God wants to work through us, the believers, the people who believe in it. God is the creator of heaven and earth. And if we believe in Him, then God is giving us that power and God is giving us the authority that we can do what He wants us to do. But sometimes we are on different stages, if I can put it that way, of spiritual maturity. We can have in the church people who say, it's all fine, but I'm not there yet. I can read the Bible, I can pray, but I'm not there yet to hear God's word. Come and join the intercession like Mark said. Then you can start learning and you can be in the atmosphere how God is speaking to us. If you're still in that stage, then you're still in your little child stage, if I can talk about it. Nothing wrong with it. All of us have been there. But we want you in this church, and God wants us as well, that we should grow from a newborn, that we should grow to a young man, that we should grow to, I don't want to talk about an old man, mature. The Bible is talking about a father. That we are growing, and that God can use us, and that He can work through us. In 1 John verses 2, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but it's just the different stages which you can see. A little child, a young man, and a father. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young man, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you, Father, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young man, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. We can see the little child. Now those of us who had the privilege at a certain time to have a little child in a house, we know that the whole house is focused on the little child. You eat when the child wants to eat. You sleep when the child wants to sleep. You've got to change nappies when the child is screaming and wants to change nappies. It's just totally focused on the child. The church should be exactly the same. If we've got a newborn in over here, we should actually all of us be focused on that person and say, okay, what can we do? Can I change the nappy? Can I bring a bottle? Can I bring a dummy? Can I just get some blockage of air out or whatever the case may be? That we all of us, that we are interested in it. But you're not going to remain there. You're going to grow out of that phase. Because if in the spirit, if the people were still walking around, then we're going to see people 50, 60, 70, 80 years old still running around with a nappy and with a dummy. Because spiritually they haven't grown. They only received. But once you've out of that period that you've received and you become a young man, then you understand, but wait a moment, now I've got some power, now I've got some authority. You make mistakes. Yes, you do. And you must make mistakes because you learn from mistakes. I'm also learning from mistakes. But I'm glad that I'm making mistakes, because at least then I'm showing that I'm trying something. If there's no mistakes, then you must wonder. Then you wonder if the person is really trying to do something or not. And then if you move out of that period of young man and you come to the father, that is the person who is a mentor, who is a guide, who takes the hand of a young person, if it is a child or if it is a young man, and walks along with him and goes along with him and speaks to him and speaks into that person's life. And that is what a father is. And there we've got the different stages, what we've got in our spiritual life, in our spiritual maturity. And that is determining, are we allowing, are we ready for the power of God to work through us, and the authority, are we prepared to take it up and to use it? Or do we say, I'm in this stage at the moment, I know about it, I want to grow towards that, but give me a little bit of time. And we would like to really help you, each and every person over here, we would like to help you that you can grow through that person, or that you can grow through that procedure and through that period, so that you can become what God wants you to be, and that you can be used, and that the powers of God can work through you. When I was busy with the sermon, I constantly got pictures of snow falling. Now, snow falling is, snow is frozen water, and water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is flowing. But if water is frozen, it means it's not what it's supposed to be. There's a delay. Something is not happening. And it can be that there's maybe a person today who says, but that's typically me. I'm at the moment at that stage. The Holy Spirit is not flowing through me. I'm not using the authority. I'm not using the powers what God has given to me. There's a delay. And it could be yourself. It could be that you know something has got to happen. But it could also be that something has happened in your life before, or even in your ancestors' life. And that has got to be addressed. We typically have got the deliverance for that, which is also going to be the beginning of next month. That if the enemy is trying to steal, and if the enemy is trying to capture you and hold you in a corner, that God cannot use you, that the powers and the authority cannot be used by you, that we can get you out of there, that we can help you to get out of there, that you can use the authority what God has given us, and that we can send for those, tell those demons, as what we've read just now, go, do not steal any longer. But we've got the authority for that. I want to finish off with reading Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, where Jesus is actually telling his job description over there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This job description is also our job description. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us. He has anointed us. The first thing what we've got to do, we've got to preach the gospel. That's the most important thing what we've got to do. And I don't want to condemn, but when I asked about a testimony of somebody who spoke to a person, explained the gospel, and could go through with a sinner's prayer. And I'm saying it with respect. If none of us can put up our hands and say, I did it, then we haven't started with the first part of our job description yet. We haven't started that. It's fine. We can pray for healing, and we can send out demons. But it's not helping. The person is not saved. The person is not going to heaven. We first have got to focus on preach the gospel to the poor. Not the guys who haven't got money, but those who are spiritual poor. Because he has anointed us to bring the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. A lot of people are broken. And this is also, as a church, Me and Renee are enjoying it over here, to be parents for children who haven't got a mum or a dad around, that we can be their father, spiritual father and spiritual mother. It's only for a season. That's fine. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The enemy is trying to keep the people in a certain place. It could be through addictions. It could be through anything what happened maybe with your parents. You feel not good enough to be used by God, that you can use God's powers and that you can use the authority what God has given you. It's all nonsense. God wants to use us. He wants to use each and every one of us. And recovery of the side of blind. Yes, we can pray for healing. And that's awesome that we can pray for healing. And we must do it. And you can say, okay, but I've prayed already 25 times and nothing happened. 26 times something is going to happen. And that's going to make you so excited that the next 500 times when it's going to be no and nothing is happening, it doesn't matter. That one time when you prayed for somebody and something happened and the person was healed, that's going to give you energy that you're going to pray again. Because we can do it. God has given us the powers and the authority to do it. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is the period where we're living in now, that God is giving us time. Time that we can make a difference in other people's lives. As what we've been singing in the beginning as well. That we can show God's love to other people, to the people around us. And that we can tell them that God loves them. God wants to have a relationship with them. It's not easy. When we do it on the Thursday evenings as well, it's not easy to start a conversation. And sometimes it's difficult. But like Thursday evening again, the guy where we spoke to even started asking questions back. Then I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because then you can start a conversation. Because now you know the guy is asking questions. And that's not going to stop just with a conversation. He is going to carry on with those questions. Hopefully he's going to pray. Maybe he's going to read his Bible or whatever it is. He was in a hurry, so he had to go again. But I was so excited about it that we could share the gospel. We couldn't come to the States and ask him, do you want to accept Jesus Christ? But we could share the gospel and we could tell that God loves him, that he's the creator of heaven and earth, that he knows him, that God made him specific for a reason, that he's got a fingerprint which is unique, which he's got an iris which is unique. God has knitted him together in his mother's womb and God loves him. God wants to be, that he should be with him in heaven forever and ever. Please stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come this afternoon, that we can be reminded again. You want to use us. You want to use us for bringing the gospel to other people. That is the first and that's the most important. And Father, that you've given us power as well, that you've given us authority as well, what we can use. And Father, that you want to work through us, individuals, but also as a church. And I pray, Lord, that we're going to be excited about it, that we say, Lord, I want to be part of it, I want to do it. And that we can testify to each other what happened in our lives, to the people around us. It could be in the street, it could be at work, it could be at a university, could be at the shop where we spoke to somebody, that it becomes our lifestyle, Father, to tell other people about your love. Somebody else told it to us, and we can tell it to somebody else again. And Father, it's also that you gave that instruction to all the 12 disciples. It's not that you neglected or that you set one or two apart, that you said, Luke, you've got to write a book, and John, you've got to write a book, and Mark, you've got to do this, and Matthew, you've got to do that. No. You spoke to all of them, and the instruction is for all of them. And Father, the instruction is for all of us as well, Father. But we make it our lifestyle to reflect the love what we get from you, that we can smile when we are at work, that we can be content, that we can say, Lord, I'm here at work, I'm here at the university, I'm here at the street. Show me, what do you want me, what I should do over here? Because it's not for nothing that you've placed me over here. And Lord, that you're going to show us then, because we are prepared to come to you. Thank you that we can come, Father, and that we can say we are prepared to be used by you. As what your word says, this is not something that I thought out, Father. It's not something which Shofar quickly thought out or anything like that. It is your word, Father. We cannot pass it. We cannot say, no, it's not for us. It's only for those people at that time. It's for us each and every day. Because you're waiting that we should share the gospel to each and every one on this earth. If you're here this afternoon and you say, I've heard about the gospel and I heard about Jesus and I heard about God and the Holy Spirit, but I've never made in my life that decision to accept God as the creator of heaven and earth, and to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and to allow the Holy Spirit to be my helper. But you feel inside today you've got to make that decision. Then I'm asking you to raise your hand. And if you're here and you say, I feel I'm in the stage of that little child, but I want to move out. I want to do more than just reading the Bible and praying. I want to listen, but I also want to receive word from God so that the power and the authority can be used for His kingdom, so that God's will can be done on this earth. And if you're here today and you say, but I want to make that commitment, Lord. I want to seek your face. I want to be open for that power. I want to be open for that authority. Then I'm asking you as well to come forward, that we can pray along with you, and that you can bring that to God. That God can use you, that God can speak through you. But we've got to come to God. God is not going to force himself down on us. And Father, I pray that you're going to, through the Holy Spirit, stir now the people's hearts with those who you want to deal with at the moment, Father. And that they can open themselves up, that your power, your dunamis, can work through those people and through us, Father. And that we can take up the authority, and that we can use it in this world, and that we can show it that you're the creator of heaven and earth. And you've already defeated the enemy at the cross. We'll be going to, with Easter, talk about it again. Thank you, Father, for what you've got for us. A Father who loves his children and who wants to give the best to his children. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you feel that you would like to make that commitment to God and you say, but I want to move in my spiritual maturity. I want to move up. I want to get out of the nappies and out of the dummy and out of the cot face, and I want to be used by God. Then I'm asking you to come forward, that we can pray along with you. God can use you for his kingdom. Amen.
And prayed. I saw a man, and he's walking on a rope very, very high in between mountains, and he's balancing himself with this enormous, is it a rod? Call it a rod, this enormous stick. And I feel God is saying, you think you're balancing everything so well and you're mastering it, but just reach out to my hand, and you don't need that rod anymore. So I don't know if this resonates with someone. Please come to the front that we can pray with you. Thank you.
We're going to continue with worship, but I want to encourage you to come up for prayer, whether you've been a Christian for many years or or just newly, and we can all receive power to pray. Jesus Christ, my living hope. My living hope.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope, my living hope.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hey. And then came the morning that sealed the promise. Silence, the roaring lions declared the grave has no claim on me.
Sing again.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim.
to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still call the seas to still, the rage in me to still.
Thank you, Jesus, that you are
not to be overcome, Father God. That your voice silences fear and makes the darkness tremble, Lord. And we pray that as we walk out of this place, Lord, that we'll have such a hunger to get to know, to hear your voice clearly, Father God. And in hearing your voice clearly, Lord, that we can walk in that authority, Father, that you've given us, Father God. Thank you that we can sing that so loud, that you cannot be overcome, Lord. Your name will never be overcome, Father God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.